I'm Keegan, and this is A Bunch of Gamers. This is our 134th episode of Werewolf the Apocalypse 20th Anniversary Edition, The Blood of Storms. I'm going to go around and have my players introduce themselves.
I'm Tyler, and I play Kyle, also known as Guards the Low. He's a Philodox of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sam. I play Cora. She's an Aruna in the Get of Fenris.
Hi, I'm Adam. I play Mark Guides the Fallen, and he's a Thurge of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sean. I play Zeb, speaks in sweet whispers. He is a Thurge of the Silent Striders.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I play Dimitri Howells in Memory, Lupus Galliard of the Bone Gnarrs.
Hi, my name is George. I am playing William Groves Matrices. He is a Fostern Arun of the Glasswalkers.
Last time, the Pax finally began their game with the fire dragon Fafnir, jumping upon the massive dragon and attempting to climb him as he smashed his back into mountains, breathed fire, and tried to launch himself into the stratosphere to freeze them off. While several of the pack members fell, Cora, Mark, and Matthias found a chink in the dragon's armor. Expanding it and cutting it open, they gathered their blood and declared the game concluded. Fafnir, true to his word, placed them back upon the mountainside and asked them to send other heroes his way. The packs then traveled to the seely side of the Arcadian Gateway and began to look for storm dragons after giving some blood to the seely to pick a new lord. Given a jar of air, the packs took a boat and found an island where the great azure dragon rose up and requested that they bring him a seal that would allow him to complete his story. Now the packs make their way down a tunnel under the ocean and into the sunken city where the seal lies in wait for them.
The tunnel has been going on for several miles, but you do start to see a kind of dim glow at the edge, or you see a dim glow in front of you. Now would be a good time to activate any gifts if you are so inclined.
Mark is going to activate Resist Pain and, dang it, Luna's Armor. That's it.
Okay, roll for Luna's Armor. Anyone else?
I think I'm going to activate Razor Claw.
Okay, one rage and good to go.
I'm going to use Strength of Purpose.
Okay.
I'm going to Resist Pain and Razor Claws.
Perfect. Regained one willpower there, Kyle, and three soak for Mark. As you continue up, you reach a T-crossed path. There's a path directly to the left, directly to the right, and directly in front of you. The path directly in front of you continues on for some time, and the path to your right seems to go over into a large open room. And the one on the left continues on. It bends, turning straight, like straight ahead of you. So goes left and then bends straight again. And there seems to be a door on the wall in the same direction that you are facing on the left-hand path.
I think the door's worth examining at least.
Sure. You get to the door. The door is about Krynos-sized. It's got various beautiful markings and carved battles, men on stags holding up spears against great creatures built of wind and ice.
Anything that might look like words?
You see runes, but the runes you cannot read.
Mark will comment.
I'm just thinking out loud, but this seems a little too spot on. Door.
We're gonna try and explore just about every part of it, right? Until we find what we're looking for, so seems like as good of a start as any.
Alright. As you open the door, you see what appears to be almost a blade, or at least the hilt of a sword, dived into a giant block of ice. You see on the wall many-handed statues, hundreds of hands attached to the same torsos with 50 or so heads screaming and writhing on the same orbs as they are reaching for it and clasping, their hands moving and just inches away.
Awesome. What do you guys think? Sword and stone?
Or some sword sealing away
a terrible ice dragon or something. No, I'm pretty sure we just don't touch the sword.
Can I roll sense worm? May I roll sense worm?
You can. There is a faint hint of the worm here as you hear the creatures beginning to chant and mumble as they look at you, their eyes kind of glazed over. Sweet League Baron Fire.
Can I activate Speech of the World? Or
you can.
Let's do the same thing, pal.
You both hear the translation, Blood of Fire.
Do we need to smear the dragon's blood on this?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Or to your earlier point, that's what would free them, this thing that's bound them here. And when you... I don't know if I want to take a risk moving it. The light was stated that this is the example of the seal. We would have to move it intact. But it could be, right, stored in the stone, or the minute we move it, something really terrible happens, right?
Well, if we bring up the sword in the stone metaphor, isn't it normally the one who's worthy that pulls it out?
I mean, based on what they just said, it's the dragon's blood that would handle this. Right, that would melt the block, and I'm saying, what if we tried to move it wholesale?
Oh, I see. So, like, kind of encircle it, and then kind of try to see if we can pick it up with the ice?
How big is this block of ice?
It's about 4 feet wide, 5 feet long, and then about 6 feet high.
And is the ground also ice, as if it's been grown from ice and we're kind of standing on it, or is it like a free block of ice on top of stone?
It's a free block of ice on top of stone. The stone is chilled to the touch, though.
Right.
I mean, I think we figured out that Korra can lift a semi, so I could try.
Read Wired. Child of Fate. Child of Fate.
Sounds like our boy Matthias.
Matthias looks at the horrifying things as you all notice kind of like the evil grins forming across the multitude of faces, and even on the big, like, the structure that all the faces are on, it grows its own mouth and smiles, splitting some of the heads as the big toothy grins shine as Matthias goes,
I think I'm okay. Yeah.
Kind of like nudge him backwards a little bit.
Could I make an intelligence occult roll on the sword?
Sure. If 8, please. You got nothing.
There's a lot of chin scratching and humming.
Let's try something else. Let's either keep going or let's turn around and check that room we saw. The one that didn't have a door.
Maybe there's things in the other rooms that connect to each other, you know? Maybe whatever's in here, maybe the answer is in another room. Who knows?
So the one without the, like, a entrance, it was a big kind of, like, cavern?
Yeah, it looked like a larger room. And upon entering it, you notice that it is a large hexagonal-shaped room. There are several domes and platforms that seem to be floating about. There are rotted pieces of wood and the remains of stairs that seem to have grown from trees that allowed connection from platform to platform. You see various ghostly apparitions moving about, sighing, screaming like the wind, eyes poking out like the eyes of predators within the trees of winter nights. And to the top, you see a faint golden glow, like the sun that seems to keep these things away.
I think we need to move toward that.
I agree. Not all of us can... I don't think we can... Well...
Matthias shifts down to Hamid. Perhaps this will make it easier for some of you flying types to carry us.
Yeah, that should work. I can take 2.
Mark will switch to Hamid form.
All right, Matthias goes over to William, despite his discomfort of glasswalkers. Who's going with who?
I'll shift back down into Hamid, and I'll take off with Zeb.
Sorry, Kyle.
Brave.
After that heroic sacrifice and loving embrace last session, now you got third wheel.
I just looked up from my chat with DoorDash and I saw Zeb first, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay. So, Kyle, who are you going with?
I will go with Dimitri, and I'll switch to Hamid.
All right, so Child of Destiny and Mark jumping in William's arms, the two rank challenges of Destiny. All right, going up, Zeb, Dimitri, and William, I will need dodge rolls.
Diff, sir.
We're going to go diff six. Need two successes. Everyone, one of the apparitions tries to grasp for you. It does no damage, but it passes through you and your passengers, and you all lose one temp willpower. And you are halfway there, so you'll need to do one more roll. Same diff. So all three of you expertly maneuver around the apparitions. As you see them, they look almost like a mixture of death and forests. One actually looks like the Grim Reaper, but his cowl is like that of trees and grasses as his skeletal hand reaches and misses before you get to the top platform where the golden light is and the creatures avoid it. And there, sitting, is quite small, only a few inches, a golden key.
Is the key the source of the light, or is it just in it? Okay.
Matthias kind of reaches out and picks it up. Golden seal, golden key, right?
I think so.
As he clasps it and you see him like, it's warm. That's nice, as all the creatures seem to be just at the edge of the light. I guess we should move on, huh?
One less room to explore.
There is. Excellent. Excellent dodging, William. I didn't feel nauseous at all.
Thank you. Gotta work together to make sure that we get through this.
We do. Thank you. Again, as you kind of drift back down and you leave, and now you have the two paths, the one that had the door on it, and then there was the one that, when you entered, was going straight into the complex.
Well, let's head deeper in.
All right, as you start taking the straight path, it continues on, and then it once again tees as Matthias goes, shall we go straight on? Might as well, right? As you continue on and you enter a massive room, huge, luxurious, with ivory pillars that reach up and hold up the ceiling of this place. Ancient murals, partially blotted out through age and the crushing water pressure from above. And on the far side in front of you is a beautiful shimmering pool of water with steps leading down that would force you to swim.
Well, that tracks with what he told us.
Yeah, all right, shall we?
Player question, would Krynos be better for this because bigger lung capacity?
Yeah.
Stamina, at least,
yeah,
right?
Your stamina, yeah.
So Mark will turn into Krynos.
Matthias will do the same.
Same.
Yep.
All right, so everyone does. As you dunk down and you get a quick view before you pop back up to the surface to communicate, the water also tees. One straight ahead looks like it has a pool much closer. The other two paths seem to go further and deeper in the other directions. You're not sure where those paths end.
I'd say first pool. Well, at least that's what's closest has been investigated, right?
We can at least pop our head in.
Keegan, can I ask if cyber senses would work in this point, basically changing my eyesight to be either infrared, or is there a little light in the water possibly to do like night vision?
Yes, there is.
Or possibly even echolocation. I could just change my hearing.
You could do that as well, yes.
I think echolocation would be better.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and change my hearing to echolocation.
Okay.
And do some clicks, because that should also give me a sense for all paths as long as I'm looking down each.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You give your clicks, and the bounce back from the first one is it's a decent swim, not impossible if you go down the right path. That path then turns and goes back the direction that you came into this build, this kind of temple in, and then you sense that it kind of cuts off abruptly. The other one going left goes about a similar distance before, once again, backtracking. You catch the kind of slippage that would be similar to a pool, and then it continues on, but you are not able to get a exact distance as it continues backtracking because it's a little too far for your echolocation.
Okay.
If you guys want to go forward and look that way. I can head to the left to get a slightly better view of what I've seen down there. It's an open pool. I don't know if there's anything breathable, but there is a space I can get to.
If there's something dangerous there, I wouldn't want you to be alone for it. Especially as limited as we would be in the water. Together, we might need your senses to find if anything comes through here. Remember what they said about the seal, that dragon, right? There's monsters that are being held back here, and winter is the death of this place. So I think what we're very close to looking at is the barrier that's keeping this world from ending. So I'd be very wary of going about it alone, Brother William. Fair enough. I would like to also just reiterate, we have communication devices, so I'm never alone.
You can die real quick in the 2 minutes it would take us to swim to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe not mentally, but maybe physically.
Might be able to hear you die.
I don't want to think about that.
That's why we keep our other communication devices off.
I think it is best to keep the packs together.
Okay, then straight ahead we go.
As you pop in and your heads pop out, this room is ornate, beautiful, gilded in a thousand ways with a great statue of what appears to be a king in golden armor. The armor seems scaled and his eyes have a fury as he holds a spear in one hand and a sword in the other as he stands on a pile of corpses, some of them resembling the hundred-handed monstrosities that you had seen in the other room, as well as other strange and terrible creatures like those apparitions made flesh in the other, and creatures stranger that you have yet to see.
So it's holding a trident, you said?
Spear.
A spear?
Spear, okay. And a sword, yep.
And a sword. Where is the sword point pointing?
Downwards. Like downwards? Towards the vanquished foes.
Okay.
And the spear to heaven.
Is there like anything on the ceiling, like a mural?
There is a mural crafted of gold showing various battles and what appears to be the forging of a great arch and gateway. Within, you see strange creatures that resemble the fair folk that you had seen here, but some that you have yet, that are conspicuously missing from this realm, as if fully vanished, as well as defenders holding it as the gates seem to close. As you see, when the gates shut in one of the murals, other creatures start to change to resemble the fair folk that you have come across on this side, as if the realm rejected the forms of the others in some sort of horrifying accident in ages long past.
And then final question. On the mural that this gateway is being presented on, is there like a distance to or the mural to suggest its location, like say buildings or landmarks or ruins?
You do, actually. There is a road that crosses and then splits. A cobblestone road, resembling a Roman road. On the left, you see what appears to be spring, and on the right, autumn. Matthias goes,
isn't that the road that we took to take to the castles?
It's the trod, yeah.
Are there other roads in the picture? I mean, like good eye, Mark. And they'll... Are there others of other colors or other types? Specifically ones that might be green?
There are not. Well, the green path you do see, it's behind the archway. As the archway closes to this realm.
So it looks like we need to find an archway in order to find the green path.
I think we're really opening up some shit here, guys.
I'm gonna go over to that statue of this warrior, Keegan.
Okay.
And I'll touch it.
You notice that it moves laterally very easily, and then you look down and you see that there are scuff marks for the statue to be moved.
Can two of my strong friends come here and help a little Theurge out?
Of course.
Yep, I'm on my way.
As you guys go over and you give it a push, it slides very easily, and behind the statue is another door.
Would you look at that?
Opening up the door, it's a small hallway with another door This door is unique in that it has three keyholes. One keyhole is gold, one keyhole is silver, and one keyhole is iron.
I guess we're gonna keep swimming.
Yeah, maybe we already have the golden key.
As Mark motions over to Matthias.
Matthias nods and shifts back into Hamid to pull out the golden key. It fits perfectly.
You might have a point here. Will it turn?
Yes. Click.
All right. So it turned. Can we pull the door open?
You cannot.
Right, okay. So it needs all. Yeah. So it needs all three. Yeah. It's not a key per.
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly yep. right. All right. William, what a useful man you'll be.
Can you take the key back out?
As he pulls, and the key seems locked into place, ironically.
At least we know someone can't take it.
I suppose. I was hoping maybe it would keep more of those creatures away from us should we run into more.
So you head back to the pool. So you've got a path to your left and to your right from behind the statue, and one straight ahead to go back the way you came. You said one of them ended, William?
Correct. The one to our left now.
Do we want to check that one out?
Sure.
As you all jump in, I will need a stamina roll. Diff 6. 2 successes, please. All right. Everyone makes it as you swim out, and the path not only ends, there is a pool up above. There's a little extra airspace, which made it difficult to discern. As Matthias points up and gives a nod as you guys are feeling your lungs kind of strain, and he pulls himself up and all of you follow him. This room is frigid, absolutely frigid. It goes up vertically for a good while. It is relatively large and the winds are blowing as if there was a storm overhead and snow and sleet dropping upon your fur. I will need another stamina roll. Diff 6, please. You only need one success. As you pop out and noticing around, you see a silver glow atop a tower of ice as if it's begging to be climbed. As you hear the whisper of the wind, Hoga se we der Ferolic winter, which to you two who have Speech of the World activated, it means the eternal winter.
Well, it's not going to get any warmer. I say we climb this thing and grab the key.
Matthias.
Agreed.
So, strength athletics, everyone, you will need a total of 10 successes. A botch means you slip and fall. Those of you who have razor claws, reduce your difficulty by 1. That would do it. All right, so that's the next roll. And Mark has gotten to the top. And you are immediately greeted with, Mark, a key of the same size and shape of the golden one, but crafted entirely of silver.
Good thing I got Luna's armors on. And Mark will just reach for the key and...
You pull the key as you feel this frigid cold rush through your arm, and the fur on your arm stops moving. It's not frozen like with ice, it just ceases to move.
Interesting. Cool trick.
He'll head back to the edge.
Alright, as you head back to the edge, you see everyone else climbing up as you wave the key to tell them that they can turn around.
They
all start making their way down. Mark, you will get to climb too, but because you are in Krynos form and thus have no pockets, you will have to do the same climb at Diff 7. You'll only need 6 successes to climb down successfully, though. Halfway there, as Cora and William just get their claws spread and go wee and slide down.
It's just Mark, more fun that way.
It is. As you all kind of climb down, you get there. Everyone's down as your arm is shaking, Mark. It's just going to be difficult to... You can move your fingers, like I said. It's just frigid. Ice cold without any ice on your body.
Okay, so it's like the muscles are just suffering from a really cold, but there's no cold there.
Yeah, like... And then your hair is just frozen in time.
Okay. Ooh, in time.
Kind of like a really, really still cold winter night.
Well, I could take this back to the statue, and you all could get the other key.
I'm pretty sure we have to go back that way anyway, right?
Yeah. Oh, can you swim like that? Will you be alright?
Might be a little bit more difficult, but I think I can handle it.
And Kyle's gonna reach out and touch his arm. Not necessarily near the key, just like...
Okay. You touch it. It's stiff. It feels like you can move it. It just, like, the fur feels like doesn't move unless you actively push it.
Okay, but it doesn't feel cold to me.
No, it does not.
Right.
It feels...
I was worried that maybe he would freeze the water as he tried to swim.
Oh,
and
okay.
And he'd die.
All right, everyone jump in. Okay, I'm last in. Yay!
Mark's first in. Frozen. We're trapped! Mark, you fool!
And it's just head right here.
And the apocalypse happened without them. All right, as you all swim back, get to the door, you place the key into the door, the lock, Mark, and it turns. You hear the click, and you hear kind of just whispering. Ophelion Raid Dilgweel. End of days.
I think we're about to destroy a lot of people for the sake of this contract of blood that we think we're going to get from that dragon. Do you think he lied to us? I think every great story has a great tragedy.
Frey, power, Samod, sea, Tai, Te, world. Frey, power, Samod, sea, Thay, Thay, world. Three powers in this world.
I'm really at a loss, guys.
I'm not... This is the only thing I can think, and I'm not going to sugarcoat this for the sake of us bringing back a tribe that we desperately need, but I think there's going to be blood on our hands, and this is one of the most morally dubious decisions I think I've ever been faced with. I mean, and that's saying a lot given the number of people that we've killed, innocent and not.
Do you suspect that opening this door is what actually breaks that seal? Like, doesn't crack it when it makes its way up here, but maybe that this door is a seal itself?
I think it's like anything else. I think it could be a seal of itself, right? All I can think of is I don't want to conflate our beliefs with the things that go on in this place, right? But three, right? The Triad, Weaver Wildworm, they all struggle. Balance theoretically could happen, but generally speaking, to achieve that balance or achieve whatever side wins means a lot of death, like the thousands of years that we've been fighting, right?
What if it's a convergence? What if the opening of this with the three keys reveals something that's another seal, another key?
Or like that leprechaun said, right? There's those fae spirits that inhabit a body, then there's the real powers that are out there that exist. And all I'm saying is this, yes, I think we're going to open up something. Yes, I think there's multiple powers. And we might just have to stand for the fact that something truly terrible might happen as a result of this. And as long as we're all understanding of what we think we're doing at the time, I mean, that's it. We'll all be judged in our own good time otherwise.
I wanted to agree that behind the door is probably something truly awful and terrible. But if we are to use our own teachings, the Weaver Wild and Worm, perhaps this is the worm trapped within the Weaver based on the Stargazer philosophy. There's the Seelie and Unseelie court, but where's the third court that might be here? I don't know much about the Fae, but based on this is what I'm kind of thinking. It is truly awful that has just been trapped behind.
If we unleash death upon this place for the hope of renewal, whatever that renewal ends up being might not be the perfection that we'd seek, but it's going to be something. I'm not trying to be a downer about this, but this just, it feels bad the closer we get to finally finishing it, right? Yeah, I know what we're here to do. And we've come a long way. So we're not abandoning you, Matthias, but again, the road to get this done is going to be in the blood of many.
Almost sounds like a genocide for the birth of another.
Really hope not. But yeah, we can go for the third key, and I guess argue some more before we put it in the lock.
I mean, I think that's the right choice, at least. The key Mark picked up was static, like it was unchanging, right? Like it was cold, and change had to be forced on it. I mean, I suppose maybe that's their Weaver. If this does map to the Triad, and the gold was
warm. I would assume that that's not their worm, since it kept everything at bay, and so I suppose that would leave the key of iron worm, but it... I suppose I don't understand what it might mean to have a door locked with all three of these keys. I mean, everything's out of balance, in our world at least, for us. Is that not so here? Such that something could still be locked with all three?
When you saw how concerned both the courts were, right? With whatever the heck's happening here. I think your guess is as good as any. And, yeah, there's something to be said for balance or renewal. Just freaks me out, right? Dying in a dream is usually when the dream ends. But I guess, Mr. Echolocation here will, get us to our next item. Sorry, guys, I know the Death Priest sounds weird when he's freaked out about something like this, but...
It's perfectly fine. You don't need to apologize.
As you guys head back to the pool and go down the right path, and as you get to the pocket of air, Matthias points up, tapping his chest. As you splash up and get a deep breath, and this room is filled with shadows, strange trees, and around you, you see strange images of twisted things, things impossible to the mind, things that don't map to your experience, but horrifying in every regard, almost melting as they reach and vanish. And in the center of the room sits an iron key.
I'll go up and grab it.
Zeb, you grab it. You feel kind of a pulse move through your arm. Every battle scar you have starts to crack open slowly and weep. And your empty eye socket fills with blood and starts to cry tears of blood as Matthias goes,
"We should head back now."
Yeah, let's go.
As you jump into the water, as it starts to fill with blood, moving through, Zeb, as you feel every battle scar just slowly ripping open, almost as if it's fresh. I need from you a stamina roll. Diff 8. His whole face is opening up, yes, Dimitri. Like a horrifying, terrible rose.
Face, okay. Mouth, chest, throat.
Yeah. I don't want to say it out loud and interrupt, but oh god, that's horrifying.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody else.
Oh, damn it. You said diff 8, Kagan?
Yep.
Boy, ah.
All right, so you do get to it at the edge, but it's real rough as you pull yourself up. Your arm slightly buckles as you start crawling, as you just feel like rot gut going through you, as you've now got 3 points of ag rushing through your body.
Mark's gonna pick him up and help him just walk over to the door.
As you reach down and you feel the ever so gentle slope as you pick him up, and clumps of fur kind of slide off with skin onto your hands. As you get him and parts of him start to sag onto you involuntarily. So you get to the door and Matthias goes, "You gotta put it in now, Zeb."
Nope. Shakily put the key in.
As you turn, you click, and the door opens.
I will perform Mother's Touch on Zeb.
All right, as Zeb, your body, all your battle wounds start to close, your face kind of recollapses into a something recognizable as a face.
Until the apparent zero face. Somehow you went from worse to just bad. It had to be him specifically for this scene, and I love it. Love it. But oh god, how terrifying.
And so you see a golden seal in the mouth of a golden dragon. The dragon appears to be of the Eastern style, a long, sinuous body with imagery of storms around it. With the seal open, you notice, or with the door open, you notice that, like, tiny wings are starting to sprout and grow from the statue, giving it, as it starts to almost shift to, like, a Western-style dragon. And as that's happening, the mouth is starting to close, so Matthias rushes up as quickly as possible and pulls the seal out of the mouth before it closes and shatters it. And once that happens, you all feel the building whoosh!
Like a quake.
Yeah.
Time to get the fuck out.
As you run, and I'm gonna need a stamina athletics, diff 7, You need a total of 6 successes in 2 turns. If you do not, you will be taking damage. And then you'll have to try and dig yourself out. If you fail to dig yourself out, you are dead.
And we need 6.
6. I will make it in three rounds, three attempts.
Oh, 3, okay.
Yeah, we'll do it 3. Oh, do you two want to use mulligans?
Yes. I'm going to use my mulligan for the first one.
Yes, I do.
All right. Do those rolls then. Zeb and William are fucking bum rushing. All right. Zeb, you make it.
I'm William,
you're
lagging
behind,
make it.
You're almost there. Kyle, you're going for it. All right, Cora, you're trying. That's the important thing. Kyle, you're going to be pushing it. Remember, you can use willpower rolls on these.
All risk, no reward.
I'm going to use a willpower on this next roll.
Okay. Kyle makes it. Mark makes it.
Because goddamn.
Barely. I had to use a mulligan and 3 rolls got me 6.
Oh, there you go. You made it, Cora.
I dug deep.
Oh, William, do you want to use your mulligan?
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to. I had 1 success left. Fuck. All right.
Dimitri rocked it.
There we go.
All right. As you all rush, jump. Mark, you're the last one out. As you're hauling, you jump, and the whole city collapses as you feel rocks pelting your legs as you leap, and the rocks just barely miss you. As you make your way to the surface, and you see the great Dragon of Storms waiting.
Is the seal with you?
Coral, look over at Matthias.
So Matthias holds it, and you see crack form on it.
And he's done.
As the dragon's claws reach down and pick it up, the seal enters the dragon as he takes a more eastern dragon form. As it takes a breath and goes,
I can go home, please.
As you see him lift up some scales, and he dribbles the blue blood into your vial.
I shall take you upon the wind and bring you home, if you will allow it. I must go that way anyway, as I must leave this imperfect realm, and my body will shift it once again against my will.
Thank you.
And so your ship rides off as you are brought to the Seely Realm, and you see the dragon fly off, and you see him heading towards the juncture between the Seely and Unseely court before a great gateway opens. The doors open as blasts of wild energy enter the realm, and the creature slips through. And the doors close, but close imperfectly, and the gate remains.
Yeah, I feel that's where we need to go, guys.
Yeah, that feels like our way out of here. But first, your contract.
First, my contract.
As you head back to the realm of the Unseely Court and are greeted by Queen Mariana, as she smiles and she mixes the two bloods together as it forms a deep, dark ink. And she takes the quill and she signs it. Matthias then does the same, and you see the old contract with the old white howlers burn away. The terms have been updated. We will aid you in the best abilities that we can muster when we are called upon, and if we are within range of your hearing. The gate has appeared, and it seems that some souls of she have re-entered your world.
I wish I knew what that means.
I am not a teacher, and so I will not give it. But please, take the cobblestones, if you will. If you go back towards the gate, there is a way back into your world. The cobblestones are hard to see, for they are covered in moss and blend with the rest of the forest.
We'll keep a close eye out for
them. So I will need perception survival. You will find it regardless. It will just determine how long it takes you to find it. I only need 1 roll. So whoever has the highest.
Oh.
All right.
Well. Oh.
It's not a botch. As you finally, after some days of what you assume are days, once again, time is hard to track here, you find the path of moss, and you walk out, and you find yourself back in the near realms as you see the traveler there awaiting you.
Ah, greetings, Fomori's Bane. I see you carry a new Adrian. Greetings, ill omens. ruins. I see you carry a new Adrian with you.
Greetings, traveler.
Hello, traveler.
Greetings.
Congratulations on your rank. But your task is not done yet. There is one last thing that must be done for the Hup to become a full-fledged guard. He must see his tribal totem. He must find the Great White Lion and have Matthias stand before him.
So anyone with occult 3 automatically knows that the White Lion, being a totem spirit who lost his power and had to survive and is now also the spiritual representation of an extinct animal, to survive, had to join the brood of Griffin. And to get to Griffin's realm, you must either go through Flux or some other means.
Zeb will point at Mark's chest.
Look down, mighty Adrian. The tribe of Griffin.
As you look down, and there is the spiritual scar from the Red Talon ancestors that you had received, and that it might act as a gateway to the ancestral homeland of the Red Talons.
So his chest is the lock, so we got a key, right?
This is a key.
Yes, we stab Mark.
This is a circle back, like, episodes ago. Well over 100 episodes ago that Mark got this scar.
It all comes around eventually. I work in my own due time.
Heck yes. Perfection.
Our Lord and Savior Keegan.
All right.
Just because you don't remember anything doesn't mean I don't remember everything.
I know you remember everything. And that's the one thing I can remember.
With one being able to visit and access their totem by just merely thinking of it in the Umbra, why not we start there? I'll try to lead us to Griffin's realm.
Mark Witt's enigmas.
Better write this story down, Howls in memory. 5 Hamed and 1 Lupus born entered the realm of the Red Talons. 1 Lupus born exited the realm of the Red Talons.
As you meditate, and the scar seems to bleed off Gnosis and creates a trail through the starry umbral clouds that you reside in.
And I'll motion everyone to follow and head way.
So you head way, and you finally find yourself in a large primeval forest. Huge trees as far as the eye could see, Luna hanging above, giving the only light you can see.
My suggestion is to turn into to change into wolf now, and not the Inhamid form at all on this path. And she does so.
Caius does the same to follow behind.
That's one lesson well learned.
Taking the Athro's advice, Mark will follow suit.
I will do the same.
Same.
Yep.
Dimitri brazenly walks in Inhamid.
I've been rolling like I've been in Cryno, so.
Oh, you go on to Lupus, Dimitri.
Yes,
okay.
I am.
Okay. All right. As you all shift to Lupus and you start moving through, as you see the eyes glowing through the forest, howls and growls before Pack steps out. As you see the ghostly wolf, its fur fanning like flames in the night. Another one who almost appears like smoke. And one that resembles the one you saw all those moons ago, Mark. You have returned, questioner. What?
I have.
Why have you come?
I bear some more questions. And some friends. We seek an audience with Griffin.
Say what you mean. No ape babble. You simply seek our totem.
You are right. We bring the last of the White Howlers to fulfill his quest.
All the eyes turn on Matthias, eyes glowing as one goes. The natural order seems to have shifted. Then we must ask the question. It is the last one. You must answer satisfactory, or you must ask. Answer to our satisfaction, Mark guides the fallen. You must answer the question that we gave so long ago. Oh, do the Red Talons keep humanity in check if we are not to kill them?
We cull humanity by protecting our own, by protecting our kin. Then we let the stupid humans kill themselves off.
unsatisfactory. Think like a human. We accept that we will go extinct because we will not change. The Red Chalons refuse to change. Humanity refuses to change. They have seen the folly of their ways over and over again. They have seen the extinction of whole species. When the mammoths roamed the earth and humanity hunted them, there were no more mammoths. When the great birds, like such as the dodo, were wiped out, humanity shrugged their shoulders. Our kin in North America saw birds that could blot out the sun, and humanity killed them, and still did not change. They refused to listen. The Red Talons are asking to destroy one species because we will not change. Humanity has murdered thousands because they refuse to change, and yet you protect them. Go see Lion, but you will not be welcome here. As the Mark vanishes, which can be very existential for Mark because of his mark, as it vanishes away, the scar is clean, smooth, like a newborn baby. As they move through the wilderness and they look to a pool, jump in and catch the air, and you will be before Griffin.
Alrighty.
Mark will jump really high above the pool.
And you drop in, and you feel a brief bit of splash, and then you are in the air as you feel your body, you see the ground below you, and you turn your body and you hit the ground on your shoulder and roll as you jump through, and there's ground above you like a mirror. Everyone also has this experience. As you see thousands of extinct species of flora and fauna, you see a great mastodon walking before you see Griffin arrive. He sees you all in your lupus and growls, "What do you want, two legs?" And turns and looks at Dimitri. Eyes almost instantaneously ignite, and those who wish that two legs were their birthright. Matthias speaks up. "We seek Lion. He is my totem. I won't stand before his needs. He has been a worthy servant. Very well." As the Great Spirit steps aside and you move through the forest, you see dinosaurs walking around and various other creatures. You see the great elephant bird, the moa, the titanoboa, everything. Before you see Lion.
"Expected you to come soon. It is done then?"
"The contract has been signed, Lion. I am ready to be one of yours." Lion nods and breathes into Matthias's face. And you see him stand as Lion roars out,
"Stand, Matthias, world traveler, white howler."
Lion turns to you and goes,
"Bringing him here has allowed you to come this far, but Griffin will not allow that protection indefinitely, and perhaps even before you leave. And so..."
And Lion roars, and you feel this burst of air just strike you all, and you find yourself in the penumbral forests of Colorado. It is warm, the tree leaves are budding, and you are without Matthias, who has other things to do.
Mark will pick himself up, kind of just lay there. "Did we do it? Did Matthias do it?"
"Pretty sure. Also looks like we've been gone a hot minute."
"Well, I think we should help spread the news."
As you head back into the Sept proper, and the Sept seems to be alight with Garu talking and exchanging news.
Awesome. Is it still all the same people? Like, cause
yeah, mostly as you see. Oh yeah, fair. No, but it's
mostly the same people.
Yeah, no, it's mostly the same people. Looks like a couple months. As you see Andy look at you and double take, it's like, Jesus, it's been like 6 months.
Damn. Hey, Andy.
Hey.
We spend too much time in the other realms.
I gathered. To get you up to speed, the Garu are talking. Apparently there was a huge terrorist attack in India, which, you know, wouldn't necessarily be of much interest to many Garu here, except an entire sect there apparently went quiet 2 days ago. And hearing that, apparently a bunch of leeches just went crazy all across the world and just started eating each other, freaking out and screaming.
I mean, leeches at each other's throats for a time. That's fantastic, but all around the world?
Yeah, and only some leeches. Others seem to have been able to keep their heads about them.
I know that there are different kinds, just like we have our different tribes. Were there any specific kinds that seemed to go crazy more?
Yeah, they did. But I don't know much about it. It's one of the more weaverish species of leeches, the ones that look very human.
Okay. I don't know much about it either.
There's gonna be a moot to just discuss where we want to go from here. Looks like none of the leeches in our city did it, but we've been getting news for the past 3 days.
Does that mean anything to you, Zeb? You've been keyed in on these prophecies.
I'm gonna look up at the sky, Keegan. I think it's coming, and I think this is the start. It confirms one vision that I already had.
Tell us.
Just the end. The worm will come, and your people especially will meet to fight and defeat the worm in its physical form. The last great battle of our people.
Then?
Well, we also come bearing our own news. Do you want to hear it now, or should we wait until the moot?
Tell me now. Just gave you the scoop, you fucking catty bitch.
All right. We'll give you the best news. I made Adrian.
I gotta say, I never thought I'd see the day.
Indeed. It took a little while. I know not many get past Fostern. And oh, also, we helped reestablish the White Howlers.
So that thing Traveler did several moots ago, finally done, huh?
Finally done.
Egan, how does she look?
She does look... Her height is different now. She is shorter than she was. Her hair color has shifted, and her eye color has changed. Her facial structure is the same, but it's looking just a slight bit more rounded, as if that's changing as well.
I mean, you said shorter. Is she as short as she was before she got taller?
She is now several inches shorter than that.
I do remember conversing. This is player. Mark conversed with Alvin Stormchaser for Alvin to keep an eye on her with a raven. I can't remember the tier of spirit, but the smart one.
Yep.
So, yeah. Does Mark see Zeb kind of acting suspicious or eyeing Andy suspiciously?
That is for Zeb to answer.
I mean, Zeb has appearance zero and one eye, so anyone that he stares at, it's creepy, and he'd have to stare at her.
Sure, Mark's but on a scale of like one to your typical White Wolf player, like where are we at?
Mark's just gonna go try to find Alvin.
Yeah. Sure.
He'll excuse himself from Ori's Bane and Ill Omens. Needs to go talk to Stormchaser.
As you find Stormchaser, as he is getting ready, and he goes, "You're back. I have news for you."
Oh, that's why I've came here. We just shared some news, but I'm sure you'll hear of it.
It looks like she oscillates between starting to change into different people. She started getting taller. Her skin color changed. And then she just turned back to normal for, 2 months, and then it started to happen again. But rumors have been coming in that this is happening to Black Furies all over. Though Miss Paints with Twilight is unusual in that she is the only one who's changed twice or shifted back to looking like her original appearance.
That is odd. Is there any other events that may be correlated with this? Did the Black Furies face something? Did a pack of Black Furies bring something back?
No, I have my own theories, but once again, I am not a Thurge, and so my theories may be haphazard at best.
All the strange events that are occurring. Best as I know, it's some prophecy I've forgotten.
Well, my understanding is that the Black Furies are very close to the wild, and it seems that the wild may have unbalanced the whole tribe.
Well, It's a lot to ponder on right now. And I thank you, Storm Chaser. But I'll share this news with my pack and my allies.
Excellent. Do that. And the Spirit Watcher, she did seem to go fairly regularly into Colorado Springs when the change was becoming very obvious. I'm curious as to what that might mean. I don't know if it correlates, but it was an observation, and I want to make sure that we have all the data we need to make sure that we are acting accordingly.
Of course. Do you know what part of the town she would visit, or would you just see her go off into the town?
She'd go into the town and then enter a few buildings, but by then the spirit would lose her because she avoided rooftops. But I can get you a map and I can show you kind of the area.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But other than this, how have you been, Storm Chaser?
It has been stressful, to say the least.
The least indeed. I've been gone for 6 months?
It is May 8th, if you must know.
It's my second time through Flux, and I'm still not used to it. I don't think I ever will be.
I have to do some preparations for the moot, so I'll see you
I'll
then.
I'll leave you to it then. Thank you. And I'll head on back to the my allies and pack.
Okay, head on back.
I'll kind of pull people around, making sure no Black Furies are around.
So Andy.
Yeah, so Andy, the only one. And I'll pass the information along that Storm Chaser gave me. It's been happening to all the Black Furies. But Paints with Twilight is the oddity, he says. She's the only one that's reverted back to her original form.
Out of character question for you. When you give all this information, do you talk about, like, how he got this information, how he was tracking her, any of that stuff?
Yeah, like, I figure Mark would, because Mark was in collaboration. They both agreed that there should be a spirit involved to kind of track her as she went about her business. But would also mention that it seemed as if she was trying to avoid being tracked. So some of the information and some of her pathways and goings are a little scanty.
Did you speak to the elders of the sept before you did this?
I did not.
I
believe I had good reason.
Kyle will lower his voice. What? I thought we had said we would keep an eye on Storm Chaser, not trust him with things that could, of course, have endangered the sept.
The intent is not to endanger the sept, but to find the leak that occurred for the invasion. I felt I couldn't tell anybody else about this until I had enough information to present to you. And yes, it's unhonorable, but I felt I couldn't tell the elders either.
That's assuming that there was a leak. They had a long time to prepare for that invasion. Not that I'm disagreeing with your concerns, Mark, but there are a lot of things to consider. And I do not wish to see you or anyone else we know fall to paranoia.
And more than paranoia, whether Storm Chaser is right about there being a leak or not is irrelevant to whether or not we should trust him. He comes from nowhere, comes from nothing, with this rank. And yes, he helped the Sept once, and he seems to have its best interests at heart, but we know nothing about him. What he brings to the Sept could just be more another grab for power. Leaving him in control of information, of tracking one of our friends, whether the suspicions were justified or not, leaving it to him was inherently dangerous.
I understand, Rio. But if I may, assuming every unknown Garu that walks into the Sept is here for a power grab sounds like paranoia.
I would encourage you to spend the rest of the day thinking of the elders you know, of which no stories are known.
I will, Rio. And I will bring you those stories.
All right. So you have just a little bit of time, so you can't really do a whole lot. Maybe grab something to eat, as you guys are kind of full off Umbral food and Gnosis food, so your stomachs are now growling quite painfully.
I'll grab William so we can enjoy my personal favorite burrito gong. And Brother William, I need you to make a phone call to Collects with Interest back at Steel Mountain. And I'm going to include you in on a piece of information that he and I have been talking about.
Sure thing. I'll go ahead and pull out my cell phone and make that phone call. We're just...
You make this a protected call between us?
Yeah, I can do that. I'll go ahead and swap over to a different software that's encrypted. Where are we again? The burrito gong?
You're in a semi-abandoned...
We were just eating crappy food.
Okay. Let's go somewhere else. A little more private then.
Right.
But I'll put it on speaker.
All right. As Zeb is enjoying the Grease Crunch Supreme and William is enjoying the Double Dunk Burrito. They don't say what it's double dunked with, but it is delicious.
Magic Carlos sauce.
As long as it's good.
That's never bit anyone in the ass. All right, as the phone connects and you hear, hello?
Hey, collects with interest. It's William.
Hey, William. What can I do
you're
for
on
you?
Two things. One from me, one from my pal here, Zeb. First thing, I'll let Zeb go first, and then we can touch on my topic. Zeb, go ahead.
News for news. The Howlers are back, and some of the portents that we've talked about before are coming to pass. I think we're going to see some dark tidings ahead. I wanted to follow up with you about the Emissary.
Yeah, so the Emissary came. They don't know shit about him.
Fuck.
They did say, though, that they had some people at that sept that got wiped. It's got a connection via spirit. They told us as a sign of goodwill and brotherhood to keep us in the loop. But yeah, Storm Chaser, the Emissary acted real fucking dumb. So dumb, in fact, I believe him. Next thing is that I tried to dig into Storm Chaser's history, and the only thing I've got now is from a sept up in Vancouver. But it's the rumor that one Garu knew him at one point.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, oh, best part. I've got wires on some techno mages, and they're sending, well, about a dozen of them to India. It should
Good
be
Lord.
There. They should be there now, and it sounds like they have some plan going down tonight, our time.
What the hell for? Aren't all the leeches already dead?
No. So this is the piece that is just rumors right now, but a Garu escaped that sept. They got all the way to China, which is the only reason I know about it. All right, because our sister tribe got a hold of them first. The Boli Zotsi. They gave us a ring because they said that this leech could bend reality, opened its mouth, and drained 50 people dry before casting its hand and blew up a village near the sept. That's how the werewolves got... That's how the Garu there found out about it. And it could stand sunlight. And my bet is that there's going to be a media blackout until it's taken care of.
A media blackout across Central and Southwest Asia.
Just India. Remember, India right now is just reporting a terrorist attack.
Right. Zeb will kind of just, you know, rub his good eye, his forehead. Well, William, anything you want to pass? Thank you. I'll see what else I can find for you.
Those matrices, what do you got for me?
After all that news, this feels like it pales in comparison, but the Cyberdogs have reincarnated into something different. The few that were able to make it back into the Cyber Realm, the Elders and the Athro are in the upper city.
That explains, as he goes, that explains why all the Glasswalker Elders who are not Cyberdogs aren't allowed. Spider Lords mm-hmm. failed to mention there are Cyberdogs there.
Yeah, but there's some Cleoth and Fostern that escaped the culling. They're stuck in the lower districts, but they've been doing a lot of guerrilla tactic warfare against the Weaver.
Good to know. So, all right, we'll get that net going at the next board meeting then.
Yeah, they could definitely use some assistance.
All right, tribal board meeting, I'll talk to this. I'll make sure to credit you.
And one other thing with Heatseeker, he used to be a Red Talon, and he used to be called Stalks the Forest. I've been able to bring him back to his senses, but I don't know if there's any way of saving his physical being.
Might not be able to.
He is working with, as far as I'm aware, with the reincarnated cyber dogs.
All right. Keep that note on that, too. Thank you. This is helpful.
Regarding the previous stuff, is there any way to get satellite footage on India to just keep an eye out on it?
We're working on it, but the Technomages are working their, their magic and making it real hard to hack, even with spirits. So as soon as we know something, the nation will know something. At least to those who will listen to us. Anyway, I gotta go. I got a meeting here in 5 to talk about doing a raid on Magadon.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks. Click.
You're the only one that knows about this line of questioning, William. I'm not keeping it a secret, but I didn't want to open up a can of worms that would cause significant problems to cause an accusation. And I couldn't risk you or House of Memory being part of that if it was false. Let's head on back.
Okay.
No, but go ahead. I don't mean to be dismissive of you.
That's just a lot to take in all at once.
I've never heard of an elder bothers me extremely. No one else heard of him either. So he did us a good favor in asking the Shadow Lords directly. And they don't know either. And that's a problem.
So the moot begins, once again, as things are going, and the questions, some of the younger Garu cheering on and yelling about their accomplishments as one is talking about how he found a Fomori at the tropical shipping factory and took it out, and he's like this scrawny ass ragabosh, and he does like a flex, and you see all the Arun like whooping him as there's talk going back and forth. And then you all feel something strange as you're all in the Umbra, and the air feels almost electrified, and it comes through like a wave, and all the festivities kind of stop. And then the wave hits kind of again, and you feel the earth starting to shake beneath you before this huge wind hits all of you, and you hear this horrible, horrifying scream as all of your skulls split open in pain. As you all have a migraine, every single Garu, as several collapse and one of the young Kleoth starts vomiting from the pain. As the whole world shakes, the world gets blurry, and as things start to settle down, something feels off. The light of the half moon is now slightly brighter, though that could be from the migraines that you're still got a bit going on in the back of your heads. And above, then, as you look at your hands, though, the light is slightly stronger, but it has a reddish tint. And above you is a red star, glowing in the Umbra, gazing at the world.
Okie dokie, Zeb. Look at you being all right and shit.
You all right? I'll look over the others.
Fine.
Nothing some painkillers can't fix.
I'll survive.
It'll pass.
A spirit arrives in front of each of you. If you have the experience, they will give you a gift for the experience that you have. No quest needed, as several start to appear before various other Garu. No training times, no nothing. And you guys can choose that after this session closes down. And once that happens, you all hear a familiar howl from the city. A howl for help. You finally found Bloody Snow.
Or you will. We're going.
But we will find out how that all plays out next time. Thank you to everyone who listened. We'll catch you in that next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.